Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 7 of Educators Grow. Today we have a wonderful elementary school teacher as our guest today. But before we get started with the introductions on her end, I'm John Wasik. I am the proud principal of an elementary school in Oaklawn, Illinois. Welcome you back to our podcast, and I just want to say thank you all for listening. But without further ado, let's get our episode started, and I will let our guest introduce herself in more detail.
All right, before I introduce myself, hi, John. Thank you so much for having me here. I've really enjoyed listening to this podcast. You know, but others don't. It's my first podcast that I've listened to, and obviously my first one as a guest to be here. And I have to shout out Happy Teacher Appreciation Week to all my fellow educators out there, teachers specifically. So my name is Molly Babcock, and I teach in New York, and I'm fortunate to get to spend every day with the best group of fifth graders in the entire world. I would argue that to the end of the earth. This is my 8th year teaching, and in my first year teaching, I taught 4th grade, and then I was moved to 5th grade, and I've been there ever since.
Okay, so 4th and 5th, huh?
Yep, upper elementary.
I actually started out in middle school. I did middle school for about 8 years.
Wow.
So, whenever I tell everybody, and same thing with 5th grade too, whenever I tell anybody middle school and fifth grade, they always give a look like, oh my gosh, like
but we are a 4th to 8th building, so
oh,
we
are, okay,
try and pretend like we're not middle school. We kind of are building
one. Is the 4th through 8th pretty common in your area, or are you guys just a little bit different than the schools around you?
It's hit or miss. Where we're also, depending on the space of each building, they configure however they can, but
all right, wonderful. Well, I do have a few questions for you to kind of just get our conversation going. So let's start out with my first question. I always tell everybody my first question, my favorite question. I feel like it really makes me think. I really feel like it makes the people that are on the podcast think too. So thinking back, what are 3 words you would use to describe yourself in your first year in education? And then what are 3 words you would use to describe yourself now?
All right, well, we have to think about we'll go there. I'll start with, I would say I was motivated for sure. I think like many college graduates, I wanted to go into teaching, change the world. I felt confident in my experiences. You know, I had been fortunate enough to, in my colleges, be observing in classes all the time. And I really felt like, you know, I'm going to go in there and create phenomenal experiences for the kids. And I was just ready to go. I think, you know, just to have your own classroom is the most exciting thing. When they hand you those keys, it's like, that nicely leads into my second word, which I would say is naive. I know a lot of people have used that on here, but I just couldn't think of a better one than naive. So, I was fortunate, I'd say in hindsight, that I didn't know how naive I was. I certainly was inexperienced, brand new teacher, never had my classroom on my own before. I had taught and observed a lot, but when the announcements end on that first day of school and nobody's in your room but you, that's a whole ball game, as we all know. Also just naive in the sense that where I teach is very different from where I grew up. So my students have taught me a tremendous amount, everything from just living in a rural place and different family dynamics and just interests. They have such different interests than I did. So I was naive in that sense. I just didn't even know what was coming my way. The last word I'd say I thought about a lot. The best way I can think to describe this is nearsighted. And I'll explain that a little bit more. So I would say the phrase like, see the forest for the trees definitely applied. I was so stuck in the details of every day that I could not see the big picture. I thought I was. I tried to. I really wanted to see the big picture, even from little things like I'm a clipboard teacher. I have my clipboard. I have my plans on there. And I remember looking at veteran teachers being like, how do they not just carry that and look at it all the time? You know, and now I laugh because I can never find my clipboard. But just little things that, you know, I was not seeing the global picture for sure of where I was going with the kids. It was survival mode, as we're a lot of us are in. You know, what are we doing? Not even tomorrow. What are we doing in the next 5 minutes? Just a quick story to kind of explain that. So I asked the parents over the summer in my summer letter, and I still do this, to write about their kids in a million words or less. So I got a note the night before. My first note was the night before I started teaching. And I'm lying in bed and I'm on my phone. I start reading about this girl. And the mom is just going on and on about how wonderful she is. And I ended up having her for 2 years and she lived up to everything that her mother said. But so she comes in the first day of school. She's like dressed to the T and she was wearing this hat. And hats are not allowed in our school. So I'm teaching, you know, obviously just trying to figure out, you know, what bus number do they go on so I can get them home. And like I said, just in the moment. And I remember I sent them to lunch and she was still wearing the hat. And my principal came up and you could tell like he was trying to do his best, most polite way to be like, hey, this isn't allowed. But he was kind of like, you know, is she, you know, can you politely ask her to that she needs to take her hat off, basically. And I remember thinking like, how did I miss that? In hindsight, it's like, what else did I miss type of thing? Just because mm-hmm. so focused on every little detail that even obvious things now like that stand out and a lot more educational stuff too. I just missed, you know, I was mm-hmm. still in the moment. On to describing myself yeah. now. I'll try and give myself a little more credit. Although I think if you asked me 10 years from now, I'd probably have 3 negative words too.
Oh, no. Come on.
Always looking back and thinking, wow, like would not have wanted to be in my class that year. The first one I would say is observant, and that helps me a lot in the classroom. I notice things that sometimes I don't think the kids even notice they're doing, that other teachers don't notice. And that really has helped me play into their broader picture of how they're learning, just socially, academically, emotionally, some things that I think a lot of people would let go. I really like kind of see a purpose of talking to the kids about that and just noticing the little things. My dad's always joked that I have rabbit ears and I don't know if kids find it quite as funny, but I can, you know, hear everything, see everything type of thing. And then the second word I would say that goes quite well with that is intentional. So coupled with being observant, everything I do in my classroom has a purpose for it, every little thing. And I think when people leave my room, a lot of times they'll say like, there's stuff you're doing you don't even realize. And I kind of laugh in my head because I do realize, you know, there's definitely intention behind it. And it kind of reminds me of what Dave Burgess says about being creative, you know, and how people will say, you know, oh, you're just creative, you know, you haven't worked at it. And he's like, no, I've worked so hard. And I feel the same way about being intentional, that I just, there is a purpose behind it. I do know that I'm doing it. And, you know, being observant and being intentional, I think those are two things that have really helped me find success in my classroom. And the last one is kind of ironic coming after that, but I would say I'm probably like quietly confident. The quiet is the irony because here I am talking about myself, but that's not usually how I am. I'm much more of a listener than a talker, especially at work, but I feel confident now in what I'm doing and the reasons behind it. And I just feel like I can keep that between me and my students and just move forward.
I love the word. I love all the words you gave, but that word observant I feel is so important. And that was one of the hardest things for me when I became an educator. I just wanted to go in and I wanted to tell everybody how it was. And I wanted to teach. And looking back on it, I would say probably 98% of the talking in the room was me.
Yeah.
And how it's so difficult to be observant when you're always the one throwing things out or doing the talking or doing the moving. So I love that word observant that you threw out there. I love that one very much.
Yeah. And I, contrasting in my beginning, I would say at the beginning, that's something I've grown a lot in, because when I first started teaching, like I said, I was maybe observing, but not the right things, or, you know, just such little things that I didn't know where it fit into the bigger picture too.
Yeah. So let me ask you, what is the best lesson that you've learned from somebody else?
All right. This one I thought a lot about. It seems like, oh, there's lessons all the time, but I just and it has to go back to my parents. And that's one that I would say, that this, your strength of character is really the foundation for your professional success. So they definitely taught me that your strength of character is far more important than any acknowledgement you'll ever get. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for that, the work ethic that they instilled. They both worked growing up. Always, you know, in my house, I was used to them working, and I would say they were really well respected by the people they worked with. But I think if you asked any of their colleagues what they would remember most about both my mom and my dad, was their character and their jobs. And I think in the business world, in any world, it's so easy to go towards a path of acknowledgement and recognition and promotion. And I really learned from them that at the end of the day, if you're happy with who you are, that's the best recognition that you'll ever receive. And I'm really grateful for that.
I love that. And just by following you and talking to you, I'm sure that you model that with your students all the time. And modeling is just such an important, I feel like modeling is just such an important teaching tool that I think it's really important to reflect on that modeling aspect too. So, you know, I don't think necessarily, because I would say my parents taught me a lot of very similar lessons, and I don't know if they ever sat down and said, listen, it's really important that you do this. It's really important, you know, but it's more so just watching them. And especially now that I'm older, wow, you know, they did so much, or even if it's just the sacrifices that they made, you know, a lot of those observant things, I feel like we really appreciate, but it's never anything that they sat down and said, this, you know?
Yeah. And it was funny when I was thinking about that, it would be interesting to ask them, you know, how intentional that was. My guess is it was quite intentional, but just as an adult, how much I appreciate that now and thinking, you know, were they thinking about that, or was that just truly, you know, their colors coming through and I just happened to pick up on that? But I was kind of curious. I want to ask them later.
So what is something educationally related or not that you'd love to learn more about right now?
Okay, I'll give you a little bit of both, and this is going to be a very hodgepodge answer.
I love it.
First thing that came to mind was ASL. So I've always had this interest in learning sign language. I don't know where it came from. My sister learned it in college. I don't know if that's where it started. She kind of taught her kids, her own kids, just a couple words when they were babies. But I've seen students, you know, use sign language, and it just fascinates me the way that people can communicate without even saying anything. So that's something I haven't acted on, but I really would like to. Honestly, I don't really even know where to start because it's a whole new language, and go on your own. The second thing that came to mind was I love learning about just different cultures and countries, traveling. Something that I'm really interested in. So any new place, I'm a big like Smithsonian Channel watcher just to learn about the different places. And then education related, I would love to learn more about Google Classroom. Everything I know is really from my students and from my own knowledge of Microsoft like Word and Office applying. And I'm finding that I've kind of reached my application limit, and I know there's more to it, and I would like to learn more about that. And then I'm always interested in connecting more globally and just learning how to find more resources and experts and stuff like that too.
Absolutely. So you mentioned learn about other cultures. So if there was any place in the world you haven't traveled yet, but you would love to go, do you have any place in mind?
Oh gosh, I have a whole list. It's like 3 pages long.
Oh, okay.
probably one of them. I don't even know where in Africa, but South Africa, Australia really interests me.
Yes. Australia does too, but that flight from Chicago is a little intimidating.
Yeah, it's quite long.
Yes.
From New York, even worse. So.
Oh, yeah. But adult sign language is interesting. I was just talking to my parents and my wife yesterday because I have a nephew mm-hmm. who is about 1.5 or 2, and they're teaching him some sign language. You know, I think just the basic, I think they were out to dinner and he knows more or no more, I think are the two basic ones. But it was just so interesting that, you know, he doesn't really talk yet in terms of real words, but he knows sign language. That's so interesting to me.
Yeah, that whole thing fascinates me that you spend like, what, on average 2 years of your life and you say nothing.
Yeah.
Pretty incredible. But yeah, my sister, same thing, you know, just more and basic symbols. And I don't know, it's neat that the kids can kind of produce that before they can produce language, and just the power behind that.
Absolutely. It's just, yeah, like you said, it's so interesting. But when it comes to other languages, and that's a language, I would not know where to start either. It's just kind of overwhelming to me.
Very much so. And that one is very visual too. So, you know, you can look in a book, but okay, what does the alphabet look like in a book? You know, you really need to see the motion. So I guess I need to go to YouTube or something.
Well, let me know how that goes. I would love to learn some too. So if you ever want to do like a little learning group or something, let me know. And as far as Google Classroom, I'm going to tell you, I know you mentioned Microsoft and everything like that. I'm not here to sell anything, but I remember Microsoft back in the day, and I mean, every Google app is just infinitely better. I always tell my wife, because she's still Microsofting, when she's like, "Oh, I'm gonna Microsoft Word something." I'm like, "Oh man, just do a Google Doc." But
I'm slowly making the change.
That's one that I'm not an expert on, but I can help you out with some of the basics. So
that'd be great.
Let me know, and if I don't have the answer, I know where to go. And the Google to become a Google certified educator. That was actually a really good learning experience for me, because even though level one had a lot of applications that I feel like I plateaued. You know, I knew the basics, but there's more that I didn't really know. So that's always a good place to look for as well.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that, because I kind of feel the same way, that I've plateaued and I don't like that. I need to keep going.
And then there's just so many things that they keep updating, and there's so many like improvements to it. But I feel as though we get so comfortable that, you know, oh, there's an improvement. Well, I do it my way. And then I feel, oh, there's just like two buttons I can click and everything's better. Okay.
Right.
So let me ask you a question kind of leading into this one. So when there's something new that you want to learn, what are some ways you go about doing it?
Well, first, I'm definitely a reader. I haven't been reading as much as I'd like to lately, but even just in small sense, looking things up, you know, reading more about it, going with the observant piece. I'm also a watcher. If I can watch someone do it, I have it, you know, visual memory type way, you know, that's something that really helps me. I also reach out to people. I really like asking people. I'm not afraid to ask people. I was the kid that was like, "Oh, can I call the pizza order in?" Because I just like talking to the random person on the phone. But just asking people, anyone that I think can give me either a direction or an answer or any point me in any way that helps. I try to, you know, learn from other people around me. And then I'm really like, you know, get that information, especially in the classroom, try it and adjust. I've learned so much from just trying and realizing, ooh, that didn't work. Like, you know, we need to change this, and ideas in the moment. But I definitely start, I would say, with just reading, watching, and asking.
Now, have you always been that kind of person who just tries something and then says, "Okay, I didn't do it very well, I'll try it again"? Or is that something you've acquired throughout the years?
I think as a teacher, that's gotten better. I would say as a middle schooler, a high schooler, going through school, I was not so much. I was definitely a perfectionist, and honestly, don't really know how much I had to try, you know, try something out and adjust, which I don't know that I was challenged to the most, you know, that I could. So really, I would say college and education afterwards. And that's one of the reasons I love teaching. I was deciding between, should I be a doctor and should I be a teacher? And I walked out of the classroom the first day and I thought, teacher is way more challenging. We're going that route. nothing against my doctors out there, but you're never going to have all the answers in teaching. And I just love
that. Now, what is that? I think it's the innovator's mindset. The minute you think that you know, or the minute that you think you know everything, you've stopped learning.
Absolutely.
When you stop improving. I forget the exact quote. I apologize for butchering it, but I love just that mindset right there. You know, the minute you think you know everything, now you're behind.
Right. And I honestly don't, I think I could teach 50, 60 years and will never, I think I'll have more questions than I do answers that far into it.
And that's not a bad thing. You know, I mean, you know, we want to ask questions, right? We want to model that for our students too.
Yep, absolutely.
So you did mention reading, and I mean, trust me, I know this time of year, there's little time for it. Do you have any books on deck that you're really excited about?
Oh, I have so many. basically, all of Dave Burgess's creations that have come out in the last, I would say, really since the beginning of the school year. I have, as you know, been planning a wedding, so I have no extra time. I've had a lot of things going on too, just New York State opportunities and applications and all kinds of stuff, which is all great. But yeah, just looking at a lot of the people that I and you too, you know, hear from on Twitter a lot, and just people that are in the classroom or in schools, principals that I respect a lot on Twitter. And a lot of them have come out with books, and can't wait to get all of them.
my stack of like to-do books is getting larger and larger, so
it's overwhelming.
I'm gonna have to find some time to do it, because But speaking of Dave Burgess, the one I'm right now, whenever I find some time, the one I'm jumping into right now is Culturize.
Oh, nice. So, I've heard great things about that one, too.
I heard great things, too. And it's one of those that I literally, you know, you find some time. I literally fell asleep while reading it last
week.
I was trying so hard. I had like 7 minutes. And I'm like, I'm going to sit down and read. I had 7 minutes that, you know, I actually got to read it. So I knew I was pushing my limits too much. But, hey, that was a productive 7 minutes. That was some good stuff I was reading there. So
I do the same thing. I cannot read before bed because I crash so quickly.
I know. And that's a testament to that book or a lot of good books because I didn't want to stop. Right. I knew my brain was telling me, John, you're done for the day. But my mind was telling me, no, just come on a little bit more. And, you know, I guess I got a little bit of both. So,
yeah.
So last question for you. If you had one wish for schools, no matter how crazy or creative it may sound, and with no monetary restrictions, what would it be?
Okay, two things come to mind.
All right.
So I overheard a parent, I think it was last week, and the parent was talking about how, you know, every kid has that one teacher. And I had a meeting afterwards, and I have to admit, I was thinking about that comment probably more than what was going on in the meeting. And I just thought, you know, we all say that, you know, you have, who was that one teacher that made the greatest impact on you and really changed your life? And I kept just thinking, why one? You know, we go through school and I was trying to do the math, probably on a shy average, 41 teachers. And that's counting, what, 4 or 5 for high school, middle school, which is probably on the shy end, you know, a small end of things. And we're going to hope that one of them made an impact that you remember forever. So my first wish, I hope it's not crazy or, you know, too far out of the box, but unfortunately I think it is. It's just that every student had a teacher that they saw every single day that they would never forget for the rest of their lives, all the way from preschool to 12th grade, because the impact that would have, it's hard to even explain that. And why not? You know, I just wish that there were so many more than one. I wish every person went through school and there was 45 of them. Mm-hmm. Then the other thing that came to mind is I would love, if money was not an object, to travel with my kids just anywhere and everywhere. I think, you know, we take a trip to Philadelphia. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. And, you know, for some of our students, it's the first time they've ever been out of the state. Wow. And ones that, you know, for those students and the ones who have been out of state, the experiences and the things that come up that you can never teach or plan ahead of time. I mean, even my cooperating teacher today was talking about how one student 1 year, like, had no clue how to go up an escalator. Like, do you think to do that in the classroom? No, but just learning opportunities that come up like that, that really are hard to recreate in the classroom. Not that you couldn't, but if you traveled all the time with your kids, I just think there would be so, so many things that you could show them and teach them. And it just seeing it in front of them would be so powerful. And selfishly, I love to travel. So I've taken my kids all over the place.
Wow. Well, those sound wonderful. Those are wonderful. And I love I love them both, but that first one really made me think. I was just reading a blog post. And again, I'm going to forget the exact quotes, but it was just about, you know, I don't want to be your student's favorite teacher. Because I think it was a first grade teacher I was writing it. Said, I want to be their favorite teacher that year, but then I want them to go to second grade and be like, man, I love this teacher. I want them to go to third grade and say, man, this is my favorite teacher. And just every year, having that new favorite teacher, just because that's a reflection of just how great every year that is.
Yeah, and how powerful that would be that, you know, you're always, your favorite teacher is always just the last one that you had or the one that you currently have. And I would say for a lot of kids and adults too, that's not the case.
Yeah.
In a dream world for me, that would be it, because I think kids would be learning a lot more and would certainly have a lot more confidence in themselves too.
Well, and the good thing is that, you know, we can do something about that, right?
You know, yeah.
I mean, we as educators, we can make that difference every single day.
Yep.
Well, Molly, I just want to say thank you one more time. It's been a fantastic episode with you. Just to ask everybody, is there a way that they can follow you? I know you're on Twitter. Do you want to share your Twitter handle so people can follow you and learn more from you?
Sure. My Twitter handle is just @MollyBabcock. Easy.
There you go. Well, Molly, again, I just want to thank you very much, and I appreciate your time, and I appreciate you sharing your thoughts and insight with the listeners of Educators Grow.
Yeah, and I appreciate you having me on here. It's a great platform, and I love what you're doing for all the educators to share what they have to share, but also to listen on the other end of it. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. Everybody, thank you very much for listening. We appreciate it, and see you guys soon again on Educators Grow. Bye.